Shabbat Shalom. And a special L'chaim today. In fact, tomorrow and the coming week. I'm very grateful to Rabbi that I will be sharing my testimony of how God called me to be a protector of life and an abolitionist of death, and how we each and all can choose to stand up and be counted on Celebration of Life Shabbat 2021. Since I was a child, I had always considered myself to be a lover of preborn life. And as the oldest child in my family, I always loved my baby siblings. As an adult, I considered myself to be fully pro-life, totally loving my preborn and loving everybody else's. I believed the pro-life message. I contributed to pro-life causes, and I spent hard-earned money on pro-life organizations. But one day, all of that changed. The Lord had released me from mammon as a marketplace minister, so to speak, with my own provision from the marketplace, and had been feeding me his manna as a full-time missionary, teaching me to know, trust, love, and obey him daily for my all. One day, I was invited by a beloved post-abortive abolitionist friend to see an anti-abortion display at my state capitol. I had experienced nothing more than a status quo pro-life message, I thought, and I would just stay for just a little while. Yet I had absolutely no preparation whatsoever for what I was about to see. When my eyes landed on and stayed affixed to the graphic larger-than-life abortion imagery in that display, one after the other, with no words necessary, I stopped, as if dead in my tracks. I was in absolute shock and unspeakable horror. I grabbed my throat because I feared that the vomit that Yeshua had ready to spit out of his mouth against the lukewarm church was about to come out of my mouth. I covered my eyes in shame of what God has seen on my dime and my time as a pro-lifer. I covered my nose because the stench of the blood of the innocent fills the nostrils of Holy Abba. I fell to the cement uncontrollably. I wailed endless tears. I dry heaved until I became sick, and I lay in a pile of my own grief, disbelief, and rage that this abomination is being done under the watchful eyes of, yes, Yeshua lovers. I told the Lord through my repentance and tear-stained face, "Here am I, Lord. Send me as you sent Isaiah. Send me wherever, to whomever, however, but send me, because I want to end this unspeakable wickedness in your holy sight." That day I transitioned from merely a pro-lifer to an abolitionist, an advocate and activist for life, his life, the preborn life, and the life of all mothers and fathers who abort their children. As if I were dying of hunger and thirst, I quickly began the diligent work of eating and drinking, digesting every piece of literature I could find, and immediately went out to every sphere, pushing aside fear, to share the message of the gospel of preborn life everywhere I went, as a womb evangelist, taking the persecution that came with it. In no time, I became an expert. My go-to people were now going to me. Zeal for his house of the preborn had consumed me. The womb has become the tomb. Years later, I was doing an abolition outreach with just a handful of other God-fearing abolitionists to 10,000 Christians attending a Passion conference at the CNN Center in Atlanta, Georgia. The theme of the conference was sex trafficking, reaching out to as many believers with the message of loving God, loving children, being our brother's keepers, voting pro-life, and ending abortion. I was, for the most part, ignored by the throngs of quote-unquote Christians. Additionally, the leaders of the conference were disinterested in our message, They were disinterested in the gospel that I was preaching on the streets, as they clearly could not connect the blaringly obvious dots between sex trafficking and abortion. The main response to our pleas to please look and do, take action, was simply this: why? I'm already pro-life. We are already pro-life. Why are you preaching to the choir? Yet the vast majority of individuals who showed any concern for the plight of the innocent preborn were not the Bible-toting believers at the Passion Conference. No, they were not the organizers, speakers, youth pastors, Bible study leaders, students, parents, or other chaperones. Rather, they were the black people of the streets. We became their friends during those days of the conference. We each knew what it was like to be dissed by God's people. The passion had become the passionless. As soon as the attendees were dismissed, 10,000 individuals, on the last day of the conference, I stood by a major doorway to greet and share with the throngs of exciting, exiting believers. Yet it appeared as though I were being stampeded. Hearing the loud, bustling sounds of noisy crowds talking, countless horns honking, loud engines roaring, my senses were on high alert. Then, in one split second, all of that changed. Suddenly, every single sound abruptly ended, and I could see the masses of people approach me, yet in slow motion, talking with exuberance with each other, totally ignoring me. As I extended my arms and hands to share the gospel of preborn life to believers, my limbs transformed into the limbs of Yeshua right before my very eyes, exactly like this. My hands were extended to the people, and immediately my hands and my arms were transformed into the very arms and hands of Yeshua, pleading with his children. As I watched the people, and I shouldn't use the word pleading, beckoning his children to himself. As I watched the people, I saw them through the eyes of our Savior from death. As I tried to hear them, I realized that not one single person's voice was heard by my ears, because now my ears were the ears of Yeshua. Immediately, I felt an excruciating, unbearable pain coming from my belly, and I clenched it as it began to rise to my heart. When it reached my heart, I experienced an inexpressible, holy love for each person. Yet the pain and the love all in one place overtook me as the weight of God's glory crushed me. It was not I who was being ignored, but Yeshua. I realized that the overwhelming majority of the pro-life community of believers is only pro-life in name, but not in action. Likewise, a large percentage of those who self-identify with Christianity are Christians in name only, chinos. Immediately, I was taken out of that vision, and the natural realm returned to me as I was left with grief-stricken love that had to be expressed and poured out. Our team lead saw me and came to me pushing through the crowd, seeing my grief as a petite woman in a sea of giants who were towering above me, as I could so easily be missed and squashed by born-again believers. As I sobbed on his chest, I cried out, "These people don't really love Jesus. They are worshiping him with their lips, but their hearts are far from him." I realized that abortion would not end until the body of believerdom truly loves Adonai, mobilizes our people, and ends abortion as he has willed it. For years, I've had regular dreams of babies of all ages. These dreams are extremely clear. In each, I know that I'm not the mother of the child, but I know that I'm the caregiver of that child, and I do all the things a mother would do, including nurse that child. I always loved this child, whoever this new child is, and we always have an intimate relationship of trust, though it is mostly through thoughts, as if I were a womb whisperer to them before they were even born. It's as if they heard me speak the love life anti-abortion message to their parents, after this first season of dreams, I realized that God was showing me the lives of babies saved through my enduring, difficult outreaches, extremely hard, great hardship, and that I would see these precious ones in heaven, and they were snatched from abortion unlike other children. You see, this is why the celebration of life, Shabbat, is a double-edged sword for all of us. Yes, we are celebrating life, but we are also grieving the death of those who are lost. Should it also not be Abortion Remembrance Day? With our tears of joy for the sanctity of human life and those precious ones loved and saved, we have intermingled tears of grief as precious ones who were lost, maybe not loved, were not saved. For every child whose life we celebrate, we continue to mourn the life of each child that is lost. And we cry with and love and minister to each parent suffering that loss. How can we truly celebrate life and loss at the same time? This is why I'm wearing white, red, and black today. I'm not wearing my tallith. I'm wearing my robe of righteousness as a warrior of Yeshua. I'm wearing his crown over my head that covers my head, which means we have the mind of Christ. And I'm going through the entire earth using my shofar to end abortion, because this is what God has called us to do. This is my testimony. In order for us to know how priceless the preborn or unborn are, seeing God's glory in each, we must look at them through his eyes. I had to understand the kingdom of heaven, God's relationship with man, the kingdom of God in us, the word of life, the breath of life, the word of truth breathes his life into each created child, wanted or not. That, Habibi, beloved in Arabic, is his glory in the child, and his glory constrains me against our adversary's glory. What do I really believe about God? What do we really truly believe about our God? I have four questions that I had to answer, and I ask all believers to answer them as well in order to truly understand the beauty of the Lord in unborn children, the womb image bearers of God. How we respond to these questions determines our level of action or inaction. Number one, who does God say he is? Who do you say God is? Two, what does God say about his character? What do you say about his character? Three, how much did God say he loves us? What do you say about how much God loves you and others, including the preborn? What does God say about the way he wants to be loved? What do you say about the way God wants to be loved? There is a double-edged sword of truth as we celebrate human life on this Shabbat, tomorrow, and throughout the week. The sobering, agonizing truth to God and to me is that his body of believers in the United States of America does not agree with what he says about his love and his life in man. And that is why we cannot fully celebrate the sanctity of human life with full exuberance as his children. Yet we will when we end elective abortion on demand. It is imperative that we appropriate to the preborn all the verses of Scripture of love and life and all God's promises to you, to the house of Israel, and to all believerdom, my word, for the Jew and Gentile believers. Love and life are their inheritance because our children are God's inheritance. Celebrating life means protecting womb wee ones, his love for you, his love for them. Your love for him and your love for them impels you to defend life actively, enduring battles to the end to abolish the abomination of abortion on the front lines of your personal influence. Today is neither the time nor the place to articulate a 12-step plan of action. That would be for another time. We each need to lead with action, with passion, in our individual spheres of influence. Yet when abortion on demand becomes illegal in all 50 states, our work is not over. It will simply be the dawn of a new era with new work for many that will require greater training in love, counsel, education, healing, and deliverance. Let's consider the distinction between abolition of abortion and pro-life. The prefix pro simply means for, hence pro-life means for life. But is that all God requires of us, simply to be for life? Are we simply to be for Yeshua? Are we simply to be for the kingdom? Please consider this. A man is entering your house, and he's about to murder you, your spouse, and your three children. Which will you decide to do? One, attack and disarm the attacker, thus ending the assault of the assailant against your family. Two, run, grabbing one of your children to flee, leaving the other three. Three, nothing, and let your enemy murder you and your family. Let us remember how the Lord commands us to disallow the intruder to intrude. Mark 3:27. Furthermore, no one can break into a strong man's house and make off with his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man. After that, he can ransack his house. Body of believers, Satan has tied up the strong man, the church, and he has legally ransacked the house of the Lord for almost one half a century. So much for pro-life believers. Number one is the abolitionist, risking his or her life, disarming the attacker, refusing to be bound, ending the death plot, and saving every one of his family members. Number two is the pro-lifer, saving the few but never ending the murders of their other family members. Number three is the pro-life in name only. Plino, please consider this. You are a believer in Nazi Germany. The Jews are being rounded up for slaughter, and you know it. Which will you decide to do? One, attack and disarm ones entering the home of a Jew, risking your life, thus ending the murder of those innocent Jews? Two, support Jews through pro-Jew life products, services, sermons, speeches, conferences, and paraphernalia? Or three, nothing, and let your people murder the Jews. Number one is the abolitionist, risking his or her life, disarming the attacker, refusing to be bound, ending the death plot, and saving every one of the Jews in that household. Number two is the pro-Jew lifer, saving the few Jews, yet never ending the murders of their family members or of their community. Number three is the pro-Jew in life name only, the Pagino. Let us remember what believers did and did not do while the innocent ones were being silenced, legally yet illegally, according to the Torah. The believer was complicit or complacent in the Holocaust of Europe, guilty of 18 million innocent European Jew, the chosen of God, and Gentile lives lost. Today, we believers have been complicit and complacent in genocide, the Holocaust of the womb, the being formed image bearers of God, guilty of 70 plus million innocent lives lost. Only those reported, many more, are unreported. These are innocent pre-born Jew and Gentile lives. It's no coincidence that in January, the first month of the Gregorian calendar year, we celebrate NSHLD, National Sanctity of Human Life Day, MLK Day, Martin Luther King Day, and Holocaust Remembrance Day, the first month of the year. You know what I am, and what are you? Are you a number one, a number two, or a number three? My antidote to lukewarmness is love and spiritual warfare. How beautiful it is that we are made in the image of God when natural life is birthed in us at conception, and we are transformed into the image of God continually when supernatural life is birthed in us at salvation. So as we celebrate infant life this weekend and the week that is almost upon us, may we never stop loving and supporting post-abortive women and men who made choices out of great fear and great pain. As their grief lives on, may we, the body of believers, rise up out of our comfort with power and purpose to abolish abomination, speaking to each preborn life, "You shall not die, but live," and declare the works of the Lord. We have no choice but to slay the Goliaths of abortion, including defunding that uncircumcised Philistine, planned barrenhood, or banned parenthood in the process. Will you sign up today in your heart with the Lord for his warrior bride holy army, like Isaiah, to end the war on the womb, tearing down the altars of Baal that we have raised up? By force, saving lives only is the never-ending task of the game whack-a-mole. You bop one mole on the head, and others keep popping up. Will you join the abolitionist army of God and transition from, "Lord, please do this," to, "Lord, we will do this"? Will you, as my impassioned vision at Passion, surrounded by 10,000 passionless pro-lifers, his vision mission be the extension, will your vision be the extension of Yeshua's arms and hands to a lost world that needs to know the truth? Will you be a part of the gospel, spreading it, the gospel of life of preborn? Let's all celebrate human life and multiplication of fruit. These are two kingdom principles, life and fruit, together, without the double-edged sword of joy and sorrow, but instead with the double-edged sword of the Lord, his word, his truth, both now and forever. And now for Larissa's lore. Appropriate God's DNA to your love life. D, defend. N, newly. A, at any cost. DNA. And I bid you peace, God's beloved warrior bride, and in my heart, salam aleikum, habibi. God bless you all, and be in peace. Thank you.